Well, I want us to open to John 13 in the King James, verses 33 and 34. And I'm just going to walk back through a few of these scriptures and add to it, because the more you feed on it, the more light comes. And the whole objective is that light would shine in onto our own hearts so we can make adjustments and walk in the love of God. But when we talk about having a quest, you know, it says, the theme here is God's love, your quest. Anytime you have a quest in life, it means that you have a pursuit for something or you're searching for something. You have a quest, something that dominates your thinking or holds your attention. That's a quest that you have. And we all have them. But our quest, you know, those are natural things, but spiritually, our quest should be making what? A daily decision to exercise the love of God. That should be our quest. And, you know, we're all growing in this area. We've you know, done well in some areas, but not as well. So we need to remind ourselves, we need to feed upon the Word of God. What is Romans 2:12-2? It says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So we can't operate the world's way, the world's way of thinking when it comes to God's love. What does the scripture in Romans say? Romans 8:6, I believe it is, to be what? Carnally minded is what? Death. But to be spiritually minded, well, walking in the love of God is being spiritually minded, is what? Life and peace. So we don't want to have a carnal mind. We don't want to approach how we treat people with the world's way. We want to do it God's way. I know you all do. Me too. But John 13:34, it says, a new commandment I give unto you. Was he giving us a commandment? You know, as we said, these are your marching orders. These are our orders here. That you do what? You love one another as I have loved you. Boy, right there, if you just stopped right there, we'd all have to say, I haven't done that to the degree that we should. Now, again, we all know that as revelation comes, then God reveals. But, you know, when we say, as I have loved you, you're always operating to the degree that you know. Isn't that right? You're operating to the measure that you understand and has been revealed to you. But if you've got one foot over here the way the world thinks and one foot over here where God thinks, you're only going to come up so high. So you've got to feed upon the Word of God. You've got to meditate on it and make a decision. I'm going to walk in love. I'm going to do that. I'm going to purpose. And as you do, God will begin to reveal things to you to make corrections, make change. Because what does the Scripture say? Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Well, you know, if your love isn't operating properly, neither is your faith. And if your faith isn't operating, you can't please Him. So therefore, if you're not operating in love, you can't please Him either. Now, let's go on. It says, as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. Now let's look at of the Passion Translation. In verse 34 and 35, it says, "So I give you now a new commandment, love each other just as much. Yeah, you got to stop and think about that a little bit. Just as much as I have loved you. Well, how did he love us? He laid down his life. He went to the cross. He overlooked your faults. And Ephesians said, when we were yet sinners, he died for us. So we're to love each other as much as I have loved you." This is Jesus speaking. Verse 35, "For when you demonstrate the same love I have for you by loving one another, everyone will know you're my true followers." Wow. It says here again, "When you demonstrate the same love I have for you by loving one another." So you got to stop and think, okay, how did he love me? And then I have to evaluate, look at that and see, well, what did he do? What has he done? How much has he loved me? I'm to do that for one another. Did he rub your nose in your sin? No. Did he keep reminding you of it? No. Isaiah said that, I blotteth out thy what? Transgressions. And forgiveth thine iniquity. He blots it out and forgives it. And so when you look at this word, as I have loved you, some of the translations, the complete Jewish Bible says, in the same way. In the same way that he loved us, we're to love one another. Look at the New Living Translation, verse 34 and 35. It's good to just slow down and to look at these scriptures a little bit, meditate on them. It says, "So now I'm giving you a new commandment. Love each other. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. All people will know that you are my followers if you love each other." And so walking, I just say this, walking in the God kind of love really is our greatest challenge. You may not think so, but it is your greatest challenge. It is also our greatest reward, walking in the love of God. But isn't it interesting? God not only commands us to love one another, but he has given us his love to do it with. So he knew we couldn't do it of ourselves. Why? We know the scripture in Romans 5. His love has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. So he commands us to walk in love, and then he gives us his very nature to walk in love. So you know what that means? We have no excuse. We cannot stand before him and say, well, you know, you just don't understand. He'd say, but I gave you my very nature to walk in love. You chose not to. And that's a hard pill, but you know what? When we evaluate each one of us, we've made choices because of our feelings or our thoughts. I'm not going to walk in love towards that person. Because if you walked in love, then you would forgive. You'd be quick to forgive, and you wouldn't hold a record of accounts on them. You know, you wouldn't bring it up. You know, I remember I did, they did that, dot. Thank God, God doesn't do that. But the point is that we have the love of God in us. We have to choose to walk in love. And that's a decision on our part. You know, when we think about this, you know, the love of God, really, when we talk about this, God's love gives us the power and the authority to demonstrate God's mercy to others. So we have, you know, when you think about that, what did Jesus do? Remember, he set aside his authority, not his authority, but he set aside all his divine privileges and took on himself human flesh. Sinless he was. God he was. But what did Jesus do? Even when you look at those that he healed, he said, son or man, thy sins be forgiven. Take up thy bed and arise and walk. So he forgave. So we have the power of God and the authority to extend forgiveness and mercy to people who don't deserve it. Did we deserve mercy? No. And God extended mercy to us when we didn't deserve it. He extended his love and his mercy to us. So when some, did we do him wrong? Oh, yes. Some people cursed him out, served the devil. He still extended mercy and not judgment. And so for us, we're talking about here, not even sinners, we're talking about your brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm telling you, we can extend forgiveness and mercy. God forgive them. What did Jesus do on the cross? He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He extended mercy and forgiveness to those who crucified him. So it's something we need to meditate upon, that as we walk through our daily walk, people that kind of rub us and do us, you know what I mean by that? You can choose to extend forgiveness and mercy and operate in the love of God because it's in you. And you have his power and his authority to do it. What did he say? He said, just as much as I've loved you, you love one another. So he's giving us the authority to do that. Isn't that true? I'll tell you, sometimes it pinches a little bit, but it's good, isn't it? Because my desire is to walk in a greater measure of the love of God. Well, then you're going to, if you say that, then you're going to, you know, they say, put up or shut up. You know, that means if you say that and you mean it in your heart, that means you're going to have to make some corrections. And it may not be pleasant. So God may show you something and you go, ooh. But you choose to make that correction. So Romans chapter 5, we are just referencing this in verse 5, Romans 5:5, talks about that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. But I was referencing these scriptures last week. It said, the Jordan translation, it says, for God has given us a love transfusion by the Holy Spirit. And the Blackwelder translation, it says, God's love has been poured forth into and continues inundating our hearts. So it just means he's flooded our hearts with his love. Glory to God. Now, I want us to read this morning because it's good for us. You know, it's like taking your medicine. You know, let's take my medicine this morning. I did already when I woke up. I read this, but I'm going to read it again. Let's read the Amplified of 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verses 4 through 8. The Amplified says, His word is medicine. So it says, love endures long. You can read along if you want. If it's on the screen, you can follow it. Or if you're following the I'm going to read from the Amplified. Love endures long and is patient and kind. Love never is envious nor boils over with jealousy, is not boastful or vainglorious, does not display itself haughtily. It is not conceited, arrogant, and inflated with pride. It is not rude, unmannerly, and does not act unbecomingly. Love, God's love in us, does not insist on its own rights or its own way. For it is not self-seeking. It is not touchy or fretful or resentful. It takes no account of the evil done to it. It pays no attention to a suffered wrong. It does not rejoice at injustice and unrighteousness, but rejoices when right and truth prevail. Love bears up under anything and everything that comes, is ever ready to believe the best of every person. Its hopes are fadeless under all circumstances, and it endures everything without weakening. Love never fails, never fades out or becomes obsolete or comes to an end. As for prophecy, the gift of interpreting the divine will and purpose, it will be fulfilled and pass away. As for tongues, they will be destroyed and cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. It will lose its value and be superseded by truth. I'm just going to read this. I read this a Sunday ago. It's from the Hayford translation. It's Jack Hayford's translation. It says, love suffers long, having patience with imperfect people. Love is kind and active in doing good. Love does not envy, since it is non-possessive and non-competitive. It actually wants others to get ahead. Hence, it does not parade itself. Love has a self-effacing quality. It is not ostentatious. Love is not puffed up, treating others arrogantly. It does not behave rudely, but displays good manners and courtesy. Love does not seek its own, insisting on its own rights and demanding precedence. Rather, it is unselfish. Love is not provoked. It is not irritable or touchy, rough or hostile, but is graceful under pressure. Right there. You probably put that on your refrigerator. Am I graceful under pressure? Yeah. We need to change that confession and say, I am graceful under pressure. Love thinks no evil. It does not keep an account of wrongs done to it. Instead, it erases resentments. Love does not rejoice in iniquity, finding satisfaction in the shortcomings of others and spreading an evil report. Rather, it rejoices in the truth, aggressively advertising the good. Let me stop right there. That goes back to 1 Timothy 2, when it says we're to offer up prayers, supplication, giving of thanks, prayers, supplications, intercessions, and giving of thanks for all men and for those in authority. This says here, love does not find satisfaction in the shortcomings of others and spreading an evil report. I see this, and I know you do too, and it's wrong, and it needs to stop. We need to not find satisfaction in the shortcomings of not only your brother and sister in Christ, but the shortcomings of those who are in authority. What did the scripture say? We're to do what? Offer up. This is what love does not do. Right? It says, rather, it rejoices in the truth, aggressively advertising the good. Well, you know what happens when you advertise the good about something? People that don't like that, what do? They rail on you. But you know what? You're going to have to make a decision not to fight with people, but you're going to have to make a choice. I'm going to walk in the love of God whether nobody else does at all. I'm going to walk in the love of God, regardless of what others do, because it's our commandment. Love believes, love bears all things, defending and holding other people up. Love believes the best about others, credits them with good intentions, and is not suspicious. Love hopes all things, never giving up on people, but affirming their future. Love endures all things, persevering and remaining loyal to the end. And 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 1 in the New Living Translation, this is where our theme has been coming from. In the New Living Translation of 1 Corinthians 14, 1, it says, let love be your highest goal. Let love be your highest goal. And then it says, but you should also desire the special abilities the Spirit gives, especially the ability to prophesy. And then I like this. This is the Message translation of 1 Corinthians 14, 1. It says, go after a life of love as if your life depended on it, because it does. Go after a life of love as if your life depended on it. You know, just like your life depends on food and sleep and all these kind of natural things, while spiritually your life depends on operating in the love of God. And then the Amplified of this verse, it says, eagerly pursue and seek to acquire this love, make it your aim, your great quest, and earnestly desire and cultivate the spiritual and endowment gifts, especially that you may prophesy, interpret the divine will and purpose in inspired preaching and teaching. And then in 1 Peter 4, verse 8, 1 Peter 4, verse 8, in the Message translation, 1 Peter 4, and verse 8, it says, in the Message, it says, most of all, love each other as if your life depended on it. Because it does. Love makes up for practically anything. Now I'm going to look at the Passion Translation of John 14, 21. John 14, 21. In the Passion, it says, those who truly love me are those who obey my commands. Whoever passionately loves me will be passionately loved by my Father. Boy. So if you ever wonder where we need to look at this here, this says here, those who do what? Obey. It says, those who truly love me are those who obey his commands. And he said, and whoever passionately loves me, that's Jesus, will be passionately loved by my Father. So don't ever think the Father doesn't love you and Jesus doesn't love you. And Jesus continues, he said, And I will passionately love you in return and will do what? Manifest my life within you. He will manifest his life, his love within you. Now let's look at verse 23 of that chapter. It says, Jesus replied, loving me, what does it say? Empowers you to obey my word. Loving him empowers you to obey my word. And my Father will love you so deeply that we will come to you and make you our dwelling place. So you see, there's no excuse. What Jesus wants us is to love him passionately. When we love him passionately, then he said here, I'm going to empower you to love. So there really is no excuse, is there? It's a choice that we've made to walk in love or not. Now, 1 John 2:6. 1 John 2:6. Let's look in the New Living Translation. Because this said here, when we just got done reading, it said, and my Father will love you. This was John 14:23. My Father will love you so deeply that we will come to you and make you our dwelling place. Well, look what 1 John 2:6 says. Those who say they live in God should live their lives as what? As Jesus did. How did he live his life? He walked in love and he extended mercy to a sinful generation. So God forgives us completely and he commands us to forgive others the same way. Did he not forgive us completely? I referenced Isaiah 43:25. It says, I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for my own sake and will not remember thy sins. So he did what? God forgave us completely. Completely. And he commands us to love in the same way, to forgive completely. What does that mean? I'm not, once I've forgiven it, I've forgot, I let it go. I'm not keeping a record of it. I've extended mercy and forgiveness. God loves and forgives like this. And we as his children, with his nature shed abroad in us, in our hearts, can and must do the same. So we have his nature in us. Now, I want us to look at and follow along. This is the Amplified Classic, Ephesians 4, verse 29. Because this gives us a picture of, you know, Pastor Clinton used to say something juxtaposition. Isn't that the word? Something that's juxtaposed. But look at Ephesians 4:29 in the Amplified. It says, let no foul or polluting language, nor evil word, nor unwholesome. See, even if you thought, well, I don't have any foul or polluting language, he said, but do you have evil words or what? Unwholesome or worthless talk ever come out of your mouth, but only such speech as is good and beneficial to the spiritual progress of others. So before you hit tweet or you release that thing, think about, is this going to help the spiritual progress of someone? Or is it going to tear somebody down? I'm telling you, he checking me before I go, nope, not doing that. Because I'm walking in love. So what does this say? says, but as good and beneficial to the spiritual progress of others, as is fitting to the need and the occasion, that it may be a blessing and give grace, God's favor, to those who hear it. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, do not offend or vex or sadden him, by whom you were sealed, marked, branded as God's own, secured for the day of redemption, of final deliverance through Christ from evil and the consequences of sin. Listen to this, verse 31. Let all bitterness and indignation and wrath, passion, rage, bad temper, and resentment, anger, animosity, and quarreling, brawling, clamor, contention, and slander, evil speaking, abusive, or blasphemous language be banished from you. It is here, it's to be banished from us. With all malice, spite, ill will, or baseness of any kind, and become useful and helpful and kind to one another, tender-hearted, compassionate, understanding, loving-hearted, forgiving one another readily and freely, as God in Christ forgave you. That's how he did. He forgave us readily and freely. Now look what it says in Ephesians 5:1. Same translation. It says, and the thought continues, therefore. So if you see therefore, what did we just get done reading? Therefore, be imitators of God, copy him, and follow his example. See, this is the theme today. Even as he loved, we're to do the same. Copy him. As well-beloved children, imitate their father, and walk in love, esteeming and delighting in one another as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a slain offering and sacrifice to God for you so that it became a sweet fragrance. Glory to God. Does everybody get what the theme where I'm coming from? We're to walk even as he walked. We're to love as he loved. We're to copy and imitate him. And to do what? Do good for others. Do good to others. Be imitators. Walk in love, esteeming and delighting in one another. Not grumbling and finding fault. Which, you know, in our nature, if we don't keep our minds renewed on the Word of God, it's easy for this flesh to do, isn't it? Isn't it? If you don't say amens, come on now. This flesh wants you to jump over and start going, right? It's true. But we've got to stop and say, wait a minute. This is a daily thing. This is a moment by moment thing. And what I'm about to think or say, is it loving? Is it going to, as we were reading before, does it help in the spiritual progress of someone? Right? And look, as we're making an effort, we may miss it. But just clean up, say, Lord, I didn't do as good as I should have here. You start making, and this is what I'm purposing to do, and I know you do too. But let's say this. These are affirmations. You know, it says, what does that say in Philemon's? Let your communication. Talks about your communication or your acknowledging every good thing that is in us. But let's say these few things. Let's say it together. The love of God is shed abroad in my heart. And I let that love nature dominate me. Let's say this. I am quick to forgive, and I am quick to love. I'm quick to forgive and quick to love. Let's say this. I will keep my tongue from speaking evil and pursue peace with every man. Let's say this. I will walk in God's love. I will not criticize others because God's love works no ill to his neighbor. That's Romans chapter 13, 10. If you're wondering where I got that. See, we're going to bring the word around. It says, you know, I'm not going to work ill to my neighbor. And I'm not going to talk ill. But Romans 13, it says, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Love does no harm or wrong to his neighbor. Let's say this. I will practice thinking and saying the best of every person so my love can grow and develop. And let's conclude with this. I will make the love of God my great quest in life, for then my love shall abound and God will get the glory. Praise the Lord. Get this and go back. You know, you want to copy these little sayings, that's fine. But determine and make a choice. Write your own out. But I've chosen and made a definite choice more than a year ago. I'm going to come up in the love of God. I'm going to operate in it. I'm going to walk in it in a greater measure, because you realize, you know, when you look at others that have gone before you, those that operated in a measure of faith, that you say, boy, I'd like to operate in that measure of faith. When you begin to study them, their love walk was commensurate, was equal to that, and sometimes greater. But yet they taught on faith. Like Brother Hagin, his love walk was greater. And when you study and you hear from people that were around him, you don't get to that level of visibility without people biting on you and murmuring and talking about you. But he chose to do what? Believe the best of others and work no ill to them. And so we have to, you know, whether you are in that level of visibility or you're just, you know, you have no platform, so to speak, you still deal with people. And people sometimes can be harsh. And we have to choose that we're going to operate in the love of God. Do good to those that hate you and despitefully use you. Your flesh don't want to do that. Your flesh immediately starts thinking thoughts. And we need to correct that, change that, work on it. You know, think about this. What does the scripture say in James? Let's look as we close. James chapter 1 and 2. Familiar scriptures. But, you know, I'm thinking about James chapter 1 and verse 22. It says, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, doing what? Deceiving your own selves. And when you look up that word deceiving, it means hoodwinked, bamboozled. That means you think you're doing right, but you're hoodwinked. You don't even realize that you're not. That's why you've got to let the love, you've got to let the word shine into your heart to expose the things that you need to correct. Because you may be thinking, I'm all right. And then what else it say? But if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass, for he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, into the word, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be what? Blessed in his deed. Glory to God. And then, of course, you know, you can go over into chapter 2 and it talks about the same thing. Not being a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, doer of the word. So let's say that. I purpose to do the word of God. I purpose to walk in the love of God. Glory to God. Father, we thank you for your word today. Thank you for ministering to our hearts. Thank you for revealing to each one of us personally and individually areas where we need to make corrections. And Father, we purpose to meditate upon this and make it our great aim and quest in life. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. And just before we receive our offering, if there's anybody here present or anybody who's watching online, in order to be able to love, you need to have his nature. He needs to take up residence in you. So let's, extend that offer to those that don't know Jesus. But if you've gotten away from him and you need to come back home or you needed to repent for something, there's our opportunity. Let's say this. Father God, I love you and I thank you that you sent your only begotten Son to come to this earth and to die for me and die for all mankind. I believe that he took my sins, and I believe that he took them to hell. And when sin was paid for, we were raised from the dead and seated in heavenly places in him. So Jesus, I now receive you. I confess you as my Savior. I receive you. I ask that you cleanse me with the blood of Jesus. And I now believe that I am born again. And for those that desire to, no looking around, but if you desire to ask God to forgive you for things you've said and done and things that God has revealed to you in this message to correct and to ask God to forgive you, then let's do that. Father God, we ask you to forgive us for the way we've conducted ourselves as the body of Christ, as individuals in the body of Christ. And we ask that you extend mercy to us and forgiveness and show us how we can operate in a greater measure of the love of God. And we confess our sins before you this day. We humble ourselves before you. And we ask that you help us to reflect your very nature in this earth and to each other. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Glory to God.